Live from the Acres Broadcast Center, it's the Nebraska Athletics AD Show with Troy Dannon.
Lindenmeyer, the motion man, settles in the trips right. Hunter wide left. Snap. Lateef back to pass. Loads a screen left. Acres of space. Johnson 45 to midfield. Blockers out in front. 45-40. Left sideline to the 30. Breaks a tackle. Tiptoes the boundary. 20, 15, 10, 5. Touchdown, Huskers! Oh, that was incredible!
Set left. Shot by WeJ Blockback. Great cover by Deckard, the freshman libero. Left side swing, WeJ Hirk on the Huskers. Back set, right side, Virginia Adriano. Kaboom! Just launching lasers all over the Husker court. No answers by the Trojan defense. 5-1 Big Red.
Sanford across the line with a pump fake. Now it's Mast with the ball, top of the circle. Lost it, got it back. Did Price Sanford, Mast three. Got it, oh my God. Oh my Lord. What a clutch three by Mast. And he did not have to shoot that.
Hake looks to get it in, looks to get it in. Into Petrie up the left sideline, 60-foot jumper.
You betcha! You betcha! A 60-foot miracle from way down under. Aussie, Aussie, Aussie.
Now, here's your host, Kyle Crooks, on the Huskers Radio Network.
Welcome in another night as we chat Husker athletics. Very special night as we get a chance once a month to chat with the athletic director here at Nebraska as part of the Nebraska Athletic Director Show, presented by Woodhouse. Kyle Crooks with you, joined by Troy Dana. Good to see you. We get a chance to chat once a month. You are probably the busiest man in college athletics right now.
Well, I think there's a bunch of people that can equal it, but it's been really busy. I got back about 4 o'clock this afternoon from the third week of college football playoff committee meetings, and that's a Sunday through Tuesday afternoon undertaking, and then you're here for a couple of days, and then off to Penn State on Friday, and then just rinse, lather, repeat. So it's busy, but, you know, it's not the type of busy you complain about, to be sure. And when you got basketball teams that are unbeaten, football's – in a nice place right now. It's nice to have a win into a bye week, when you know you're going to have 2 weeks before you face the question again. So it's a great time. But this is also a busy time because the winter sports starting up. We're getting ready to hit volleyball tournament time, wrap up, and see where we're going to a bowl at in football. So busy time for sure.
Yeah, it's really busy right now. Are you a guy that's into naps? I mean, this is probably the time for you where naps are most important. You can't sleep 8 hours a night, right?
Well, tell you, I can't sleep 8 hours a night, and I will tell you a quick story. We lost our dog about 3 weeks ago, and the dog, 5 houses, 3 jobs, 4 kids, home with my, and so you lose a pet, it's fairly traumatic. Well, we decided we were going to go get another dog right away, So we went to pick out a puppy, and we picked one of them out, but it appeared that our son, who's 11, had bonded with another puppy. So we have 2 12-week-old puppies now in the house. So if I was going to sleep 8 hours a night, I am up a couple times letting them out as well. So, I do sleep well because, I'm very happy with what's going on here. We all have worries in the world. I think the worries that you have in Nebraska are a lot less severe than some of the worries you have in other places.
Yeah, there's a lot of good things going on right now, and we'll dive into a lot of it here over the next hour. But football, and I want to talk about that sense of pride in Husker Nation, and wherever the Huskers go, you could have any neutral site game in any part of the country, and the Huskers are going to dominate it, I think. And of course, the Sanford Pentagon, and you have that, and that was a whole different experience, and there's a little bit closer proximity to Husker Nation. But UCLA, an event like that, when you're in L.A., and I said on the air, I said, Damon, I think this is about 95% red, and I don't even think I'm exaggerating here. I mean, that was remarkable what Maryland, that football game, and how the Huskers took that over. I mean, these are places far away from Lincoln that Husker fans are just taking over.
Yeah, and I think I didn't appreciate, really understand. I knew what the fan base was here. I didn't realize how it extended other places. I think volleyball now, we're at something like 25 different venue records outside of our own. And Maryland surprised me. But what happened at UCLA to walk out and especially with a quarterback starting his first game, mm-hmm. it feeling like a home game and the noise and the cheering and the adoration like you would get from your home crowd. You know, I think it made his night a whole lot easier. But, you know, and it's, you know, there's Husker fans. I mean, if you're from Nebraska and you move somewhere else in the country, a lot of times in other states, people adopt the local team. And if you're a Nebraskan, you move out to L.A., you don't adopt an L.A. team. You're still a Nebraskan. And so when we go out there, they showed up and showed out. You know, not just UCLA, but USC a year ago was remarkable. And then the volleyball swing this past weekend. It's something to behold. And I will say it's got the attention of everybody. Because, one, they can't wait for Nebraska to come. But it is like in my meetings the last couple of days, it was the topic of conversation with everybody, one of the first topics with everybody had with me.
And I'm sure in the coming weeks when bowl game conversations come up, if you're a bowl game and you see that, I mean, it's pretty eye-opening.
Yeah, we tend to issue a lot of reminders this time of year of what will happen. Because even last year in New York, you know, an expensive, hard availability at that time of year. And yet we still had about 2/3 the crowd.
Yeah, and what I like to do is talk a little football with you because you know football and you know this team really well. And Emmett Johnson, the Heisman campaign, and everything that Alex's digital team is doing to sort of push that out. And there's a deeper meaning to that, right? It's showing that if you're a recruit and you're going to come here to Nebraska, you're going to be publicized if you play really well on the field. And that's what Emmett's doing right now. The ability for TJ to slow that heartbeat in his first career start at UCLA. There's a lot of good things happening with this football program and another big test this weekend against Penn State.
Yeah, and, you know, Penn State's playing well. You know, I don't think anybody ever forgot. They've got a lot of five-star kids. They've got a lot of Sunday players on that roster. Mm-hmm. And you know, they had their own form of trauma this year, right? But they've played really well the last couple of weeks against Indiana and then at Michigan State last week. But, you know, I think what you're talking about with Emmett and with TJ, I think things like that reveal the culture of the program, not just the culture inside the locker room, but just the culture of the program. You know, I think Matt does a really good job of knowing what buttons to push and where to try to get attention focused. And, you know, after the UCLA game, you know, he said, "Hey, we need to push Emmett. You know, we need to make sure this gets out." And by the time the word got to Keith Mann that's what we want to do, the plan was in place to do it. So I think everybody's in sync and that's what maybe the football program's done a good job of. We all have very clear marching orders. How can we support the interests of the football program? And so I think when something like happens, we're ready right away. And it doesn't matter if you work inside the football offices day to day or you don't.
And you had the opportunity to talk to the Assemble media after it was publicized, the contract extension with Coach Rule. And this is our first time getting to chat since then. But the importance of that and the investment, the continued investment, even pouring more into the football program, just your thoughts on that announcement and how that investment is continuing to grow.
Well, you know, first, most people will judge a football coach solely by whether they win or they lose. You know, and we're going to have reward on here in a minute. But when the Dallas Cowboy athlete committed suicide and Matt came out at his press conference the next Monday and talked really eloquently about mental health and about things he had in his program, you know, as I look at a program, I want a coach who has that front and center of mind. I want them to win, but I don't want them to win at the sacrifice of how we taking care of our players. I don't want them to win at the sacrifice of rolling top of everybody else to put themselves on top and front and center. And when you look at culture, you know, no matter what the record is, you oftentimes can walk through the locker room and know if the program's in a good place or not by whether the guys hang their heads or not, by whether they talk to you or not, just things like that, they're all indicative of it. So, you know, I think we have a really good thing going, and the wins are starting to come, right, progressively. I think everybody wants them to come faster, right? But I think we are in a good place. But Matt made a point when the Penn State job had opened, and, you know, naturally his name was tied to that. And he really puppeted something that he and I talked about, and that is in this day and age of money, you know, the rev share is one thing, but most of the teams we're competing against or trying to aspire up to are finding ways above the rev share cap to make sure competitively they can be with everybody in that group. And we had done an okay job, but we hadn't gotten to that point yet. That was really the next thing we needed to do. And so if nothing else, I think that prompted maybe some tree shaking, if you will, because this is not the day and age. We can't, no longer do we go and ask everybody to give $100 to 1890, the collective, and 1890 can redistribute that money. Those days after the settlement are passed. So what we're trying to do really is find what I would say is true NIL. How do we partner an athlete along with a company? And maybe a sponsor here, right? That maybe that sponsor doesn't need to pay me. Maybe the sponsor needs to have an additional a la carte option for sponsorship, which is, hey, why don't you do an NIL deal with one of our players? And instead of paying me, you pay the player. Mm-hmm. Reallocation of MMR is what that's termed in the business. And so I think we're able to free up, with the help of our president, with the help of our board and getting the blessings, several million dollars that gets us above the cap in a way that we can compete with the other schools financially who are above the cap. But it's really true NIL. The goal in all of this is not to go ask the donors for any. The donors carried us for the last couple of years in the world just to get us where we were. The rules changed, stopped those donor-funded collectives. And I'm going to be going to the donors for the stadium project. I already am. And so, we have to find other ways to, besides maybe ticket prices and donors, in order to fund the above the cap stuff. And I think we've got a good plan in place.
Let me follow up on that. So sort of the ambitions of that stadium project are there any updates or sort of what are we looking at in terms of that?
I think I'll have an update probably. I'll have an early December radio show before the holidays and I'll have an update then. We have taken more steps. I'm out talking to donors about the stadium, I think the plans are all in place. It's just a matter of what are the protocols now we have to jump through in order to make sure we have all of the I's and T's dotted and crossed as per what our university protocols are.
And in terms of the emphasis and what stadium renovation, why it's needed to sort of revamp the minds of people out there that don't understand why it's so important that this place needs a facelift.
Well, I would tell you there's three things. Just the fan experience. The stadium offers a fan experience that was acceptable at a certain point in time, but when you compare the fan experiences that are out there today, it doesn't hold a candle to what we've seen just with the concessions this year. The stadium's just not equipped to basically operate in today's world. So, one, we need to get that done. Two, it's 100 years old, and the South End is 50. And so we haven't done a lot of work. There's a lot of deferred maintenance. There's just a lot of core structural work, frankly, that is long overdue. And so that may be the most important part. I'm not saying there's life safety issues, but I am saying that there is a point in time when the concrete and the rebar is 100 years old. Mm-hmm. And where the sewer tiles are 100 years old and things that needed to be updated. And that's true with every old stadium anywhere in the country. The goal, I think, is to have a stadium that's, I would say, multi-generational. When the stadium is done, the South End was done 50 years ago. When the stadium is done, it will serve our kids and their kids. The next two generations will be served by the stadium the way our generation and our predecessor's generation was served by it. And so making sure that's the case. And really the third thing is the stadium is a revenue engine. And, I'll get killed over reseating. I'll get killed in volleyball. I'll get killed in football when we reseat. But the fact of the matter is reseating is fairly commonplace. Mm-hmm. And the biggest area to generate revenue in an athletic department is its football stadium. And if you look at the size of the stadium versus what we generate in the stadium, we're probably generating 50% per game of what we should. What a normal stadium that seats, we technically seat 82,000 and change. We say 90 a lot, but there's 82,000 and change in there from a seat standpoint. We're generating about 50% of what we should. When the stadium, the renovation's done, we'll generate what we should. And it's that money then that gets fed back into the athletes. It gets fed back into the program to help things continue to grow. You know, it's almost a self-perpetuating engine, if you will, financial engine. So if you look at the why, those are the three whys mm-hmm. why that's the stadium project needs to happen. And you can say, well, we don't need the money, or the fan experience is fine. And that's great, but it's still 100 years old. And there are still maintenance issues and repair issues that come with a 100-year-old stadium and the 50-year-old on the south end. There are things that have to be done. If you don't win a football game and if you don't want anything to change, it has to be done just because of the age of the stadium.
And you mentioned the reseating at volleyball and the expansion now of John Cook Arena, adding more seats in there. Where does that stand and that whole process?
So when the last events are done in the arena this spring, after gymnastics and wrestling are all done in there, we'll shut it down, replace all the seating, add about 1,500 seats, mostly to the upper, I believe, north side, which is the side where they're standing room only right now. That plywood covers the old treads from when it was just a basketball arena. And we'll get a little bit over 10,000 from a capacity standpoint. We will chair back seat the three of the four levels on the lower. All the students will be on one end. I think the end, if you're looking at it from facing the benches, it would be to your right is where all the students will congregate. There'll be some seating movement along with it. And you know, the one thing that I think is really important and that I'm probably proud that our crew, particularly Tyler Kai, found a way to get done is no one will lose their seats. If you have season tickets, you'll have them. They may not be where you want them or where they were now. That's the reseat part, but nobody's getting kicked out of the building. It may be a different seat than people are used to. And that comes with pain. It's never been done here. I'm going to guess that nobody wanted to take the pain on that comes with it. However, you know, if you want to be a fully functional 2025 athletic department, this is what you do. So that will happen. And then the part that will be behind the scenes a little bit, the volleyball locker and locker room space, team room space, really hasn't been touched since we moved into the building, and that will be updated and modernized. Some of the modalities for physical treatment and not just rehab but recuperation will be integrated into that. So they'll have, as they should, a first class space.
Changes, you know, it's necessary and sometimes it's hard, but change is good. And this is good.
Well, it's good from my standpoint, but change is necessary.
Yeah.
And no matter how much success you're having or not having, it doesn't remove the need to change and evolve along the way.
Yeah. A lot of good stuff there in the first segment. We have an important segment coming up. They're all important, but this segment specifically, Bree Ward, Director of Sports Psychology, will join us in the next segment. So important conversation coming up after the break. Fans Woodhouse has been a trusted partner in your everyday since 1975. Shop for your next vehicle with the home team at Woodhouse and the official auto dealer of Nebraska Athletics. Also, the Husker Radio Network Broadcast Center is sponsored by Acres, the Midwest's premier John Deere dealer, supplying the equipment and service to advance agriculture and much more. Acres. Solutions for every field. Bree Ward joins us next here on the Nebraska Athletic Director's Show. Husker fans, we need your help. Nebraska is competing against other Big Ten schools in the Abbott We Give Blood Challenge, and it's time to defend our title. You can donate towards Nebraska anytime, any place, anywhere. Just find a donation center near you and log it in on BigTen.org/Abbott to help the Huskers win $1 million towards their school. Every donation counts. Let's show the Big Ten the power of Husker Nation. Very close right now, very close with Wisconsin. So let's get out there and donate. Kyle Crooks back here on the Nebraska Athletics Director's Show, presented by Woodhouse. We have Troy Dannon here and joined by a very special guest, Bree Ward, Director of Sports Psychology. Bree, it's very, very good to talk to you. First time doing a radio interview, but this is easy stuff, right? Saw Troy do it in segment one. It's nothing.
I'm trusting you guys.
So tell the fans a little bit about what you do and your role here with athletics.
So here I oversee our sports psychology department. All of my staff, we have four full-time staff that provide both mental health and performance-based services to all of our student athletes. And we are embedded in teams, and so we get out to practices, we go to games, we were able to build relationships with both student athletes and coaches to make sure that our student athletes are performing at the best version of themselves on and off the court.
And we were talking during the commercial break about how the importance of this role specifically with the proliferation of social media. Mm-hmm. It's changed the game for athletes, and now athletes are being paid, and there's certain pressures that come along with that. Mm-hmm. But just how much has that maybe changed the landscape of your job with social media and some of the pressures that they deal with daily?
Immensely. I have more conversations about social media in my office than I ever have in the last few years. Typically, when you think about college student athletes, they face issues with balancing time between being a student, being an athlete, managing being away from home for the first time, figuring out where their classes are, how to manage their new team, all of those types of things, figuring out how to go from being the best athlete on their maybe high school team or their mm-hmm. prior team to coming here and being on a team with the best athletes from all sorts of teams. And with social media, everyone is connected so quickly. Mm-hmm. And so you're seeing things in real time within seconds, right? And our athletes are under constant scrutiny on social media and with all sorts of comments. And I'm constantly talking with our athletes about how to manage comments and manage posts and people from all across the world seeing our athletes' posts and what they're doing with their life and having all sorts of opinions about that.
Well, in gambling, mm-hmm. you know, which is a new factor, but just when things don't happen right, and people blame their gambling loss on an athlete mm-hmm. and then reach out to the athlete. I mean, there's examples out there of athletes just getting Venmo requests for money. I lost $100. You owe me $100. And so it's added a whole new facet. I know a good friend of mine, Brendan Bussman, is listening tonight, and he's on the other side of the gambling issue, and we talk a lot about, you know, how do you govern gambling in its macro form. But at this micro level, you know, athletes tend to leave their direct messages open. You know, I don't. I'd be scared to death of what I'd get. But when they do that, sometimes you know, those people that are out there gambling, and our coaches get it as well, but that it's just a proliferation of a whole new set of problems that has popped up here in the last 5 years.
And Bree, let me ask you, in terms of the tactics of, you know, because when you're a public figure, it's tough. Mm-hmm. Social media is tough. So how do you deal with it? What are some of those conversations like? It's tailored to each athlete. It's different, mm-hmm. right? There's different circumstances for different athletes. But what are some of the recommendations? If there's a student athlete that's listening tonight and says, hey, I'm going through a really tough time, Bree, just generic 30,000-foot view, what would your advice be to that athlete?
A couple of main conversations I have with athletes is figuring out how to filter your comments, figuring out which comments you want to put energy towards, and specifically, who is your audience as the athlete on social media? And when we also think about the financial component connected to college athletics now, oftentimes NIL deals and companies will reach out to athletes through DMs. And mm-hmm. oftentimes I hear from athletes, well, I can't turn off my DMs or else I might lose out on money.
Yeah.
Or a really good NIL deal. And I talk with them about what's more important to you, your mental health and managing DMs, or is it that financial component? And that varies for our athletes. Some things are more important than others. But having those conversations and figuring out what they want from their social media account is important.
I think it's hard to, as a fan, you got to remember there's the gambling aspect, right? And we, as some fans, think of student athletes as commodities, right? Go out and make me money. But these are 18 to 22 year old young men mm-hmm. that are away from some that are freshmen, true freshmen, away mm-hmm. from their family for the first time. I'm sure you get that a lot in terms of being homesick and the pressures of being away from family, right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, all the time. And I think oftentimes we can forget that our athletes that are carrying so much for the universities and for their teams, that they are still figuring out life for themselves and figuring out kind of small things, how to manage their schedule, how to manage money, how to figure out how to do all their homework with their practice schedule, those types of things. And so allowing our athletes some grace is always helpful.
Chatting with Bree Ward, Director of Sports Psychology, where did the passion for this come from for you? What's sort of the mm-hmm. background that led to you getting in this spot with such an important role here for mm-hmm. Husker Athletics?
I've always been passionate about the mind-body connection, and with our athletes, that's imperative to their performance on the court. And I'm a Nebraska native, and so getting back to my home state and supporting our athletes was a great career move for me.
Yeah. So you grew up? Did you grow up a Husker fan?
I did.
You did?
Yep. Going to football games, going to volleyball games, and it's really a dream come true to be able to work here and support our athletes.
Just how rewarding is this position that you get to create relationships from a ground floor when they first step on campus to when they graduate? And you see what they battled through when they were, I know it fluctuates with the transfer portal now and people come in and out, but when they're 18 years old and they're seeing things for the first time and wide-eyed to now they're 22, 23 years old and they've gone through some tough battles, pretty rewarding of a profession, isn't it?
It's the favorite part of my job, is just seeing them through their journey here and seeing how they've grown and how they've changed and the person that they've become. It's my absolute favorite part of the job.
Well, Bree, thank you so much for joining us. Go ahead, Troy.
You know, it's amazing. Sometimes we do forget a lot because our athletes are so mature, so polished. When they're behind a microphone, you have no idea they're 20 years old and a junior in college. And so we kind of lose sight sometimes that they're 20 years old and a junior in college. And you know, and I hear a lot, well, they're getting paid now. They don't owe anybody anything because they're getting paid now. That didn't change the game at all. And Bree was exactly right. And that, you know, trying to help them keep perspective and trying, you know, as much as we tout winning and we do all of our social media, we have to be careful too with our own perspective in how we're promoting our athletes and knowing maybe sometimes when we need to keep a certain athlete, you know, out of the spotlight because of things that they're dealing with that no one will ever see. And that's the value of Bree and her unit, which I think may be now the largest unit in the league. And it just maybe speaks to the emphasis that we're going to put on this particular area of care for our athletes, because you know, your experience when you walk out here is going to be defined by, you know, nutrition and academic support and physical support and your sports medicine, but also the behavioral health. So hopefully when the athletes walk out of here, they're well prepared to succeed in life because everything we gave them along the way here.
Yeah, light bulbs just sort of went off when you were talking, but working with coaches too, because maybe coaches can talk to a player on a certain wavelength, but maybe can't talk to them the way that you could and have conversations that you could. In your position, how much do you get a chance to work with the coaches and say, hey, you know, player X is dealing with this, and let's find a path forward?
So in my role, we have all of our services are confidential, which is a very important component of that trust factor with athletes. We want our athletes to be able to come into our office and really work through some things. That's part of the treatment process. We talk with coaches about observations we're seeing at practices and in games and helping guide the coaches to maybe in a different coaching strategy to coach the athlete a little bit differently, or helping them understand other perspectives when it comes to the athlete. Maybe they're dealing with this or that, and that's why they're acting this way, just to help manage kind of that culture within the team, because those things can come up as well.
I think that's a very interesting nugget, working with the coaches in that regard, aside from working in the personal way with the athlete. I think that's really, really cool. Well, Bree, the work that you do is tremendous, and it's really, really important nowadays. So we thank you. Radio debut is in
thank
the
you.
Camp. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Troy, great stuff, right?
She did a great job.
It's a natural.
She did a great job.
Bree Ward, Director of Sports Psychology. Great stuff from her. Woodhouse has been a trusted partner in your everyday since 1975. Shop for your next vehicle with the home team at Woodhouse and the official auto dealer of Nebraska Athletics. We continue with Troy Dannon. That is next. Fans, the Huskers Radio Network Broadcast Center is sponsored by Acres, the Midwest premier John Deere dealer, supplying the equipment and service to advance agriculture and much more. Acres solutions for every field. Back on the Nebraska Athletic Director Show, presented by Woodhouse, Kyle Crooks, joined by Troy Dannon. Great segment with Bree Ward, the Director of Sports Psychology. We'll have it posted on the podcast if you want to go back and listen to the entire show. Also tonight, we have the Nebraska Volleyball Show, which is coming up after us. John Baylor and Danny Busboom Kelly will talk about the weekend that was out in L.A. We talked about all the attendance records and such. So we'll talk a little bit more volleyball as we go. We'll be here to the top of the hour. But we did want to mention this because you've gotten some emails about a possible new mascot, and I just wanted you to get the chance to address that.
Yeah, I don't know. Somebody decided that we should have a female Herbie, and so started an email campaign, and then you know a couple of local establishments posted the QR code so people can send an email and an automated email. And I would say we're not adding a mascot. But, you know, I also vetted it, you know, when, and, you know, I, automated emails tend to find the circular box fairly quickly. But, you know, I did hear from enough people and, you know, our coaches have zero interest. In fact, a couple of them find it offensive. A couple of our female sport coaches found it offensive. And so, you know, we're leaning into Herbie. You know, Herbie obviously went on the basketball court this year. And, you know, there's very traditional branding here, but we're going to lean in more and more and more to Herbie, but we're not going to go beyond Herbie.
Yeah, so that's good to know and get the word out on that. By the way, I did tweet out when it was unveiled, the Herbie court. That is clean, Troy. That's a good look.
You know, the goal, and I don't know if anybody knows this, last year a lot of us hated the court, the design of the court last year. And we tried to order a new, basically the panels for the center. And we were going to put the debut Herbie last year. And we just couldn't get it done in time. And so it was, we just decided to wait till this year. And so, you know, it is the first of the integration. You'll see more branding from gear related to Herbie. And there's going to be a modification of Herbie for each sport. For the sports to wear as well.
Yeah, that's great stuff. Talking about gear, how about those 96 throwbacks the other night? You probably have to wear them for the rest of the year, but the way that game went.
Yeah, I was going to say, if they lead to shooting percentages like that, then maybe we should wear them. But no, it's pretty sharp. You know, between that, the blackout, you know, yeah. I would tell you the blackout, I've been a part of a lot of those type of events. Nothing ever like the blackout. One, the way our fans responded. It was spectacular. And I was getting texts from all over the country during the game. This looks amazing. I know Matt talked about it Monday about out on the road recruiting. The recruits talked about it. And you know, at a place, there, it's a fine line when you're trying to do fun, creative things and also honor the brand and the history. But to be able to do that, one, I thought it was great. Two, it's something we need to do every year. Now, I've spoken to the Nebraska Farm Bureau because we have an interest in that becoming a cause game of some sort. That the blackout game is on behalf of something, and we really want to tie it to farmers and agriculture in the state of Nebraska. So we've kind of asked for their help in what is it that we could tie into that game, that game always becomes, as I say, a cause game, attention grabbing game. For some ag farm cause in the state of Nebraska. So I think you'll see it. I think you'll see something attached to it next year as well.
That's great. And that's great to hear because the level of detail, I remember at one point I looked up in the game and I saw a projection of the skull and bones on a building on the south side. And I said, I didn't even realize that until later in the game.
I wasn't aware of some of the level of detail that had been done. I think our Brandon Meyer, Courtney Gaucher and facilities. I think they just did a remarkable job of every little detail. You know, we wanted to paint the field overnight Friday night. We wanted people to go to bed Friday night with a red field and wake up Saturday with a black field. And with the weather and it being cold, there was worries that it wouldn't stick. So we had to do it a couple of days early. But I think there's more things we can do to have fun with it. You know, I think the skull and crossbones needs to find its way onto the field someplace. So we'll see if we can notch it up again next year. But I thought Adidas did a great job with the black uniforms. The guys loved them. So it's something we're going to see in our repertoire moving forward.
Think maybe a different alteration of the black uniform or stick with the same thing? I mean, these are probably conversations that could be had another time.
Yeah, but. You know, the uniforms are really a two-year thing. So this concept was a year ago that was hatched. Not sure what the new, there's a new style of uniform coming from Adidas. So how does that integrate with this? Kind of probably outside of my comfort zone or my knowledge zone, if you will. But I know that's something that we're working on.
And kudos to the fans because I could tell when I was walking in, Troy, that, okay, they're all in on this. Because there was the thought, okay, certain generations, are they going to be all in on the blackout? But they were all in.
I had so many people say it wouldn't work. But we did an alternating color out, whatever we call a stripe out in volleyball, and it looked great. And you know, our fans will respond to anything. We gave them a lot of notice, but they came prepared. Now, you know, it works better in a night game, and it certainly works better late in the season. Yeah. So, you know, but I'd like to get to the point where, like, Penn State has a carve out in our TV deal for a night game for their whiteout. I would like to have that same carve out for our blackout moving forward.
Yeah, great stuff from yourself and your entire staff. Went all in, and it was beautiful on television. The black balloons after that first touchdown. I mean, it was cinema.
Yeah.
The way that played out. Fans, your Cavs deserve a strong start, and Purina Stress Care 5 delivers. Now available at Central Valley Ag. Stress Care 5 with RX3 immune support technology is here for all producers. Learn more at cvacoop.com. Central Valley Ag, the official co-op of Husker Nation. We wrap it up with Troy right after the final segment of the Nebraska Athletic Director Show, presented by Woodhouse. Reminder, coming up is the Nebraska Volleyball Show. John Baylor will chat with Danny Busboom Kelly, talk about the West Coast road trip, the matches that are coming up here for Nebraska Volleyball as they are on a historic run right now, continuing to rip along through the competition. Woodhouse has been a trusted partner in your everyday since 1975. Shop for your next vehicle with the home team at Woodhouse and the official auto dealer of Nebraska Athletics. Kyle Crooks and Troy Dannon, final segment, take you up to the top of the hour. Did want to get to this text on the text line. Mike texts in, wants to get sort of your stance on the university stance on the private equity money deal that's been in the news.
Yeah, you know, we probably talk for an hour. I'm going to start by saying it's not truly private equity in the way that we think of private equity, but more of a capital infusion. This has been on the discussion blocks for about a year. It was really last October. The ADs in the Big Ten said to Tony, our commissioner, you know, we need to find new ways to generate revenue, Tony. You know, just say what you want, but this is, it's a money. How do we generate new revenue? How do we generate new revenue? And so, you know, the growth, the creation of a business enterprise and to grow the business within the business, you know, one, to inject a capital infusion up front to help start the business, but also to bolster everyone. That's the concept behind it. You know, never got to the point, at least up till now, where we've had a vote. You know, we've had our opportunity to input both good and bad, the things we like and the things we don't like. It's tough. You know, I joke. The commissioner has 18 children sitting around the table. Each has different wants and needs and circumstances and situations, and you're never going to find anything that probably all 18 completely agree on. Our board's been involved, at least, you know, to keep them in the loop knowledge-wise. Really, this got outside the AD level to the president level fairly quickly, and President Gold and I have worked on it diligently. You know, whether it happens in its current form, whether it doesn't happen, or whether it happens in a new form, I have appreciated the fact that we're trying to find a different approach and attack in this new enterprise. At some point in time, maybe there are parameters and controls that allow restrictions of spending, whether it's on salaries or whether it's on a formal player unionization, if you will, collective bargaining type circumstance. Maybe that comes. But, you know, in the world in which we're in right now, it's not ideal. We're guilty of it, right? I extended our football coach, you know, because I don't want him to leave. There's a bunch of openings right now. And you probably do things that everybody would look at and say, is that the best way to spend money? And our answer sometimes has been, well, let's go find more money to spend, more money that we can invest. We just talked about trying to do the NIL work with football. And really, a lot of sports here, you know, need that additional support. I don't think this discussion is the last discussion that will be had within college athletics at the Big Ten level or even at other levels. As over time, we continue to find ways to generate revenue, knowing that there are certain areas, right, the TV contracts only going to do so much. But how do you create other businesses? One of the things that we're working on here in the university is how do we find a way to create additional business opportunities inside the department? And it's bringing concerts in. We announced the Savannah Bananas. We announced the Boys from Oklahoma. We're going to announce another one, I think, on the 24th of November for next year. That is a new way to generate revenue. And do you have a separate business inside of the athletic department to do that very thing? That is a micro version of maybe what is happening at the Big Ten level. So I appreciate the creativity. I don't know if it gets there or not. But I think people are going to have to expect to hear other ways that people are trying to be entrepreneurial in generating revenue.
I appreciate you chiming in on that, because there's a lot of questions that come in when things get reported. So this was a really, really fun hour. I always look forward to this opportunity to chat with you once a month. We'll see you in State College.
Yeah, I look forward to the weekend. You know, it's a really good football team.
Yeah.
It's a really good football team. And I just want to give Bree a shout out, because we have a lot of things to be proud of. Bree's unit is a unit that no one ever sees, hears, or interacts with. But I think Husker fans need to be really proud of the ways that we take care of the athletes here, and you know, particularly from a mental health standpoint.
So that'll do it here for the Athletic Director's Show. Nebraska Volleyball Show is next.